This is JFM Podcast. Good morning to you, and thank you for staying with J101.9 FM. Welcome to Thursday. It is the 23rd day of the month of September 2021. I am your anchor, Zoe Machunga. And this morning, lots to talk about concerning women, concerning the girl child, concerning the female gender. Now, just recently in the news, we saw Aisha Buhari counsels parents to encourage the girl child, even though she was talking about football here. But I mean, in a situation where maybe there's very little options, you know, anything is better than nothing, to encourage the females to aspire to positive aspirations, a mindset set for success. And this morning, we will be looking at a very important issue in the society, and that affects women, in fact, mostly negatively, as it turns out, and that is violence against women. And we're looking at the demands and accountability for faith and culture leaders to effect and voice, add their voice to which is affecting women's rights and advancement to achieve their true potential in becoming and finding who they really are in the society. I mean, imagine being a young girl. And well, I have the story to share. I remember back in secondary school, I had this friend, and we were in GS3 waiting. We all resumed school that term, and we were waiting for her to resume as well. She didn't show up. News reaching us later was that she was married off. I mean, in GS3, how old were we? 13, 14, at best 15 even. And I remember her dreams then. I believe she wanted to be a medical doctor. And of course, later on, we would hear other things that happened to her during the course of her being forced, you know, to take a position that she wasn't ready for. And so this morning on Let's Talk, we demand accountability from leaders of culture and faith on violence against women and girls. And our guest this morning, I've been telling everyone in the studio that the king from my village is here. That is His Royal Highness Matu Dakat, the Sumphiam of Gindri Chiefdom, Mangu Local Government Area. Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Now, we also have Barrister Tapman Evelyn Gotep of Ministry of Justice, Jos. Good to have you here, ma. All right, now let's get into this discussion quickly, lady and a very gentle royal man. What is early and what is forced marriage?
Forced marriage is usually a marriage which one or both of the parties have not personally expressed their full and free consent to the union. And it could also be a marriage which is against your will, or a marriage that you agreed to but did not really have a choice.
Okay, but did not really have a choice. That is a forced marriage. So what is child marriage?
Child marriage is, well, we know in Nigeria, based on the provision of the Constitution, I think Section 29, sub 4A and B, for a person to be able to give consent, either in marriage or whatever decision he needs to take that will concern his or her life, the person must have attained the age of 18 years. That is when you can give consent. So when we talk about child marriage, is when the person involved in the marriage is not up to 18 years of age, because that is when he or she is supposed to give consent. But specifically, we are dealing with the girl child. So a girl who is allowed or forced to get into marriage when she has not attained the age of 18.
That is child marriage. Now, His Royal Highness.
Basically, child marriage refers to any formal marriage or informal union between a child under the age of 18, and it could be an adult or even a child under 18 and another male child under 18.
Okay. Now, why does this happen in the first place? What would make a child or a family to marry off a child? We saw something like that happen some years ago in Kano. Mm-hmm. And the groom's family was poisoned. And so what would make something like that happen?
Usually, there are a lot of factors that contribute to early child marriage. Some are cultural, some are religious, some are economical, some are social. So we divide them in various categories.
So is there a difference between child marriage, early marriage, and forced marriage?
Well, I would say there are differences. Child marriage, just like we have rightly stated, is a person who is married below the age of 18 years. While forced marriage can take place even when the person is an adult, the person might have attained or is above 18 years, yet the person did not marry voluntarily. And voluntary in the sense that his consent, even though was obtained, but was obtained either forcefully, out of maybe threat to life, or a situation where the family feels you will be an embarrassment to us if you don't go into such marriage. So we find out in such situations there is a difference between when the person is a child and also when the person is an adult, because it could be a forced marriage too. And then the third one, please, can I?
Early, forced, and child marriage.
Okay. Early, I would say early, I would categorize it with the same child marriage, because you have not attained the age you are supposed to, or you can give consent to marriage.
All right. As it is this morning, we are demanding accountability from religious and cultural leaders. Now, let's hear from a religious perspective. Let's take a listen to the soundbite of Reverend Caesar's voice.
My name is Joseph Caesar Bulus. I am a pastor with EQUA and presently the assistant district secretary for EQUA Just DCC. The position of the church as regarding child, early and forced marriage as an impediment of VAWG in families and homes, this is it. The position of the church goes the same with the global best practices when it comes to the issue of children. One is, when you look at the definition of who a child is somebody who is under 12 years. And then we have the teenage age, in which we call the adolescent. This is when some person that falls within this age range is neither an adult nor a child. It is a period of transition. So the church does not marry children. They marry people who are adult, that is, they have, you know, come of age. So globally, children are regarded as people who are under 12 years of age, 12 and under. So in this situation, people like that should not be forced to get into marriage. It is an abuse, you know, of people under 12. Now, some people could get married, you know, between when they are in their teenage, because we said it is time or period in their life when they are neither adults nor children. So, but the closest to, you know, being adult will be somebody who is around 16 and above. So now we say from there, people could get married. But then, again, we come to the issue of who a child, not we have finished with the issue of who a child is. Now we can go on to forced marriage. You know, people are given, you know, their chance, you know, to exercise their rights as human beings. For humankind's, you know, people, we are social people. You know, we call it social animals. So whichever they, you know, you got it. You know, we, you know, allow people to have a choice, because the rate of divorce that we see in these days that we are living in is alarming. People get married, and I tell you from the statistics coming up, within 8 years, marriages fall apart. It is because these people did not get to make an informed choice. You know, and they take it, you know, from the people they love, and they, you know, get married. So what the church is saying is, global best practices say, children should not be married. People too should not be forced into marriage. Let people, you know, find their way and exercise their rights as citizens of Nigeria and citizens of the world. In that case, my suggestion here is, Nigeria is a secular country, and it is under the United Nations. Not only that, you know, it falls under the places where we say people have freedom of speech and rights too. So the thing is, laws should be put in place. In fact, Nigerian law says children, you know, are people that are below 18, because you become an adult when you are 18. So that law should be enforced, and that will solve it, regardless of religion. Everybody should go with the global best practices, which is in the law and constitution of Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you so much for staying with us. You just heard the voice of Reverend Caesar of the Kokin Church, and that is a religious perspective. And thankfully, we have a cultural custodian with us in the studio this morning. That is the Sumpiem of Gindri in Mangu local government area. Now, Nigeria being a very religious country, ethnic-driven, tribal-driven, you know, it has driven deep. Now, this you leaders who are religious and cultural custodians are looked at in some aspects even as gods, and in many situations when there are problems in the community, you are the first point of call. So how should you who are the leaders, how should you, you know, look at this issue of early and forced marriage?
Well, from the cultural point of view and as traditional leaders, first of all, we don't make laws, but we thank the governor of Plateau State, His Excellency, who has graciously signed into law the Child Rights 2005. And ours is to implement those laws within our own domain. So as traditional leaders, we ensure that parents do comply with what the law is stating, that is for each child to have the right to be loved, to have the right for free education, to have the right and privilege to grow as a normal child, no forceful marriage, no child labor, no hawking, and stuff like that. So it is our duty to enforce such laws at the grassroots.
Again, if we look at it in another angle, sir, is it wrong to interfere with with cultural practices or tradition that surround child marriage? Because there are some traditions, there are some cultures, even religions who would say, we want to marry these girls off. I mean, I have a friend who said she was married off early so as to not to promote promiscuity, in their family. Once you are done, I think with JS3 or so, once you get to a certain stage in secondary school, you're married off so as to stem or nip promiscuity in the bud. And some religions even believe that the earlier you marry, the better for you. You would age better, your body would heal. There are so many, misnomers or misinformation concerning that. So as a cultural custodian now, how do you manage and balance that?
We do consider the advantages and the disadvantages and look at the interests of the child if things like that take place. So if a child that is underage is forcefully married, you know that definitely the health of that child will be jeopardized. His future is being jeopardized because the chances of schooling will not be there, and possibility of getting pregnant as a child, the pregnancy and even the delivery becomes a problem, of which as a result some of this girl child die in the process, and even the baby may also die. And if they eventually even attempt to deliver, sometimes it leads to very, very catastrophic health situations like the VVF, which, is a terrible thing. Once the girl wants to deliver and the pelvic is not matured and she's being forced into labor, that becomes a problem. And then eventually she develops that VVF. You see that the urine and sometimes even the stool will be going uncontrolled. And the husband will naturally abandon her. You see, he will abandon the girl and she will have psychological trauma. And it may lead to depression and even death. So we look at the goal, we look at the objective. If the advantages, outweighs the disadvantages, fine. But in this case, the disadvantages of early marriage far outweighs the advantage.
All right. Will you agree with me that these leaders, religious and cultural leaders, fall into different categories and groups? Let's put them into some category now. Let's say the proactive ones who totally discourage and are against this heinous practice. Then we have the passive ones who don't preach against it, neither are they in favor of it. We also have those who promote it and think early or forced marriage discourages promiscuity. And we're concentrating on Jigawa, Katsina, and Plateau states in focus this morning. Like Jigawa and Katsina states, the rate of child and forced marriage is high, up to 87%. And Nigeria ranks third behind India and Bangladesh in early forced and child marriage as well. So as cultural and faith leaders who are major stakeholders, how much are you aware, or are they all aware of this? And oftentimes, like we've stated, when communities or villages have issues, the first point of call is cultural and religious leaders. So do traditional leaders, hold meetings, and at these meetings, are these issues brought up?
Yeah, we do hold meetings with the community leaders, with other village heads, and other traditional rulers, so as to educate and enlighten people about the dangers of early marriages. In Article 16 of 1979 of the United Nations Convention, it has already been put into law that marriages should not be less than 18 years. And that is what we are telling people, that they should allow these young girls to reach at least 18 so that they can be mentally and physically developed to handle marriage.
I mean, it's not even sometimes just about the bodily development, because the driver who brought me to work this morning was complaining so much, and he was like, you know, kids these days, they don't seem to have just common sense, you know. So even if you're bodily developed, how mentally and psychologically ready, you know, are you for such a role? You know, it's like it's taking children a longer time now to become adults even, you know. So we're seeing children having children.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, on that note, I would want to add, in the sense that most times, just like we said, early marriages, child marriages, but if you could recall, I said sometimes, even when someone has attained the age of 18, that is when we, constitutionally, we feel the person is ripe to make consent or to give consent. But just like you have rightly pointed out, there are moments whereby a child is up to 18 or a person is up to 18, yet he is not mentally and psychologically prepared for marriage. But we find out at that stage, either parents, like His Royal Highness has stated, for either economic reasons, social reasons, or whatever, the child is allowed to go into marriage. And we find out such situations usually give birth to marriages that go through violence. And if at all we are going to cope the issues of violence, either domestically or otherwise, or in marriage or in whatever category, we have to first of all deal with the issues at the point of when a person is about to get married. I think it will go a long way in solving situations and helping so that we reduce the issue of violence in our society. Thank you.
So if we look at the early child and forced marriage as an impediment of violence against women and girls in families and homes, please let me ask you to continue to throw more light on that.
Like I've stated earlier, the issue of forced marriage most times, because the person did not give consent, or even if the consent was given, it was obtained either forcefully, you discover it goes a long way in affecting the person in the marriage.
So at some point, maybe when the person gets more mature,
course,
more aware,
yes,
then they rebel against,
of course, because
the decision.
They get to know that that decision, I didn't even consent to it in the first place. I was just forced, even though my consent was obtained, but I didn't even know what I was actually doing. So we find out even in the marriage, it also affects the output of the marriage. And then it also affects sometimes psychologically even the person involved. Although at this point we're looking specifically at the girl child. Although some people might say it also involves
I was just going
male.
To ask, boys,
yes,
forced off,
yes,
to,
yes,
marry early.
But if we look at that, it's not too prominent.
But it does happen.
Yes, it does happen, based on maybe culture or otherwise. But you find out that mostly the person worst hit is the girl child.
Well, I mean, we don't have this culture of, you know, suing people right there in the U.S. Underage girl forced to have sex with Prince Andrew, U.S. court document claims. And that is, he's in the court right now concerning this issue, which he has to, you know, report and say his own part, even though he's denying it. But the girl has insisted that she was a minor at this time. And, you know, maybe years from now, when all of these girls become wiser, we may see cases coming up where those who have married them are being sued. And so it's sad
and
that many times
point,
they are older, yeah, people, you know, who they are married off to.
Of course.
People who are old enough to be their grandparents.
Of course.
You wanted to say something, Ma?
Actually, on the issue of will I say international standards, places like US, even for us here, people are not aware that you could still take such matters to court. There are situations currently we have family courts. You could sue in such situations where you are a child and you're being forced into marriage. You could sue through agencies. We have FIDA. We have NAWAJ and other agencies that are there to help the girl child to know who she is and to fit perfectly into the society, because as a girl child, you have dreams and aspirations. And you have a freedom or your rights. You have a right to express all these things when you want, at what point you want to do it. So mechanisms are being put in place, particularly the judiciary. Mechanisms are being put in place to see how these things could be coped. Family courts have been put in place, although not fully active, but certain steps have been taken to make them very effective. And I want to also state that persons so affected can willingly go to court to dissolve such marriages. That is maybe when they attain the age of understanding. And then you find out the marriage is not working. It has broken down irretrievably. Particularly when it comes to culture, you could go to the area courts to obtain redress. If it's a statutory marriage, you could go to the, will I say, high court to obtain redress as well. So people should not just sit back and allow themselves to be used as tools, and then to also keep feeling certain things is the societal norm. No, I think it's high time we rise up to face some of these challenges, since the courts are now open to us, that we can freely go and get redress.
All right, we'll open the phone lines in a bit. But to you, Your Royal Highness, the Sumpiem, I would like to say that, I mean, it's easy for us to sit down here to have this conversation in English, in the city as well. I mean, how much has all of this information been devolved down to, let's say, where women are involved, especially in marketplaces or Association of Market Women, or Zumuntamata, Zumuntanyamata, Girls Brigades? You know, how much does this information get to them? Especially at the grassroots level, that they know that if something is wrong, you can take it to the court.
Okay, we use the general language. If it is within an educated environment, we use the schools for such as advocacy. But if it is in the rural communities, we use their local dialects. No, we speak to them in the language they understand. And as you were saying, in addition to what she has said, most of these early marriages are given to rich people, to people who are much older than these young girls. That is why it usually ends up in domestic violence. And it's not as if they don't know their legal right, but sometimes because of how much the man has paid to the parents on their daughter. You see, they are so poor and they cannot refund the money back to him. They are afraid to go to the court because he may ask for his money back, sometimes with even interest. So in such situations, you see that the parents are being limited by those windows of the legal system.
So talking about limitations of windows of the legal system now, is it possible for these cases to be handled pro bono?
Actually, yes. That's why we have agencies. We have lawyers who handle some of these things, like the Ministry of Justice is part of it. And then we have FIDA, Federation of Women Lawyers. I think they have been vibrant on the plateau. And because of that, it has reduced the rate of some of these forced marriages and also violence against women. You could sue through these agencies and they will do it pro bono.
So the refund of the dowry, which most of those who are scared to go ahead with this
well,
cases.
Some of these agencies are financially capable, and sometimes they take responsibility.
for those
when they discover it's a sincere and a genuine situation.
All right, the phone lines are open, and this morning we're demanding accountability from leaders of culture and faith on violence against women and girls. And we have in the studio His Royal Highness Mato Dakat, the Sun PM of Gindri Chiefdom, Mangu Local Government Area, and also Barrister Tapman Evelyn Gotep of the Ministry of Justice. You can join in on the conversation 090-556 in four places, 99 and 090-988-48848. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning and welcome. Comments and contribution.
Thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from TTNT Junction.
Sadiq Umar from TTNT. Let's talk.
Thank you very much. I want to comment your guest. They have spoken well on the issue of early marriage and child rights. When we look at child rights in general, it's something that is supposed to be considered. But when we look in our urban area, the children are not being taken care of because most of the mothers are not, or the parents are not responsible of taking care of the children. You see a child walking in the street without brother, you see a child raising up without having adequate 3 square meals of a food. You see a child without good clothes, without having bath every day, because the parents are there hustling for the food to eat. That's because of the economic situation. But the parents are supposed to know, even no matter how the economic situation, they should know that the number one priority of their right is to take care of the rights of the children. And coming to the issue of the early marriage, this is something that is very, very unfortunate because of the diversity mind that we have on the issue of the early marriage. And we have religion, we have culture. But when we look in general, now a child of 16 years old, if even she's not getting a marriage in this modern day, you see that she's having baby at home. That one also should be considered. A child of 15 years old, where we were, what that we're expecting, if she gets married, she's too early, but she will see that she have one child. If she, before she reaches 17, she have another child, and she will just be giving the child to the grandparents. And how will that child? And if she's the one now under the marital care that have that child under her, I think the husband will guide her too also. And culture have bring diversity in mind, but a child should know that a woman, by the age of that 18, 17 to 16, she should have matured enough to be taking care of herself. Thank you very much.
Sadiq Umar, can I ask you a question? Would you agree that men need to stay away from, you know, children who are under 18? You may see them with a child, but you don't know, you know, how that came about. It's easy to just look from the outside and judge, but most of the time you'll find out that, you know, the owner, the father of that child is probably someone older. So should men begin to stay away, consciously discipline themselves? You know, when you meet a girl, ask her how old she is. Once you know her age, it doesn't matter what her body looks like. You stay away from her.
Yes, that is all based on the parental care. That's what I'm saying. Because
what if the parents do their best and those on the streets take advantage?
Yes, that one is very unfortunate. We know that among the people, we have the bad ones. But it is, we are calling on those that are at the older age to stay away from children, because they damaging a child, a girl that you can give birth to her, like you damage your own child.
Thank you so much, Sadiq Umar. We appreciate your input. It was good having this conversation with you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Your name and your location.
This is Kingsley Asuko calling from Tuduwada.
Kingsley Asuko from Tuduwada. Let's talk.
What I wanted to say has already been touched, but I still have to add to it. Concerning the early marriage stuff, your guest has said, sometimes the parents' financial problems might drive them to this.
Hello, Kingsley, are you there? You can do well to reach us again on 090556 in four places, 99090988848848. You can also find us on facebook.com/JFM Jones. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Haji Slim. I'm calling from Abatua.
Welcome, Haji Slim. Let's talk.
You see,
see our problem is not making the laws, but enforcing the law. And you see the rate of poverty. Because most parents just give out their daughter because they want somebody to help them solve the problem. You understand? And you see, before we talk about all these dead child and the rest, we have to control the way we give birth to children.
Hello, Haji Slim. All right, I guess he's talking about population. You know, you should not have children that you cannot cater to. Hello and good morning.
Morning, Zoma. It's Emeka Imam calling from Terminus.
All right, thank you for calling. Let's talk.
Well, I don't have much to say, but I think and I believe that the biggest thing that we can do to address a lot of issues is educating the girl child, which is very important. The girl child, the nation, educated, you're making your country to look more organized. You look at the relationship between the child. The child have a good relationship, strong relationship with the mom. So when the mom is not educated or doesn't even know her left and right, you don't expect that child to also know his or her left and right. So the population control has to be checkmate. He's saying no police from the government. No.
Hello? Oh, the network isn't being helpful at this time. Please keep trying. Hello?
Hello, good morning. Good morning to your guests there, especially His Royal Highness. They rarely come to the studio. We want more of that. You see, this problem of child marriage or whatnot, it's just man's inhumanity to man. You ask a question about man keeping off women. Men will not keep off any woman. It's the laws of the land that, you know, regulate people's behavior. So that's the problem we have in Nigeria. Why do I say so? Look at the Child Rights Act that was signed into law more than a decade ago. Up to now, some states have not even domesticated it. Then those that have domesticated it are not even implementing it fully. So if that is implemented, that will protect the main children, especially the girl child. You know, so there's no religion or culture that is above the law of any land. It is the way you operate that law. That is the problem we have here. So education is the way to go. If that Child Rights Act is implemented to the letter, children will have access to education. And the sense behind it is that if you allow them to attain that access, full access, they should be turning to about 18 before they can even be given out in marriage. So you see, that's the problem of the thing. It's man's inhumanity to man, because those who perpetrate it, they don't give out to their own children in marriage that early. And their children go through school. They go through school. Forget about all this. Boko is haram. Let them open their eyes, shine their eyes. Their children don't even study here. Most of them study abroad. And yet, Boko is haram. Their children still know the holy books without going to any other kind of school. You know, the Western education was. So it's just man's inhumanity to man. And they are found in place in a country where there's a flagrant abuse of the rule of law. I find it ridiculous for a state to be saying that somebody who is caught in rape will be sentenced to 10 years imprisonment without an option of fine. But they are not taking care of the child that is married off at the age of 12. That is organized rape, as far as I'm concerned. Well, the same, let's not do it on this country. We'll get it right sometime, someday. That is Radio Mama Adunog from Rantia.
Thank you for your input, Radio Mama. We appreciate that. All right, let's get back to the conversation. We have about 20 minutes more to go. You've heard from the listener. You've heard their comments. You've heard their perspectives on the issue that we're discussing today. So do you have anything to add to that before we move on? As His Royal Highness Charles Mato Dakat.
Yes. When we talk of implementation of a law, it's a collective thing. It's not just for the government. All of us are involved. Let me give you a case that I handled some few years back. A young lady, a child under 18, came to my office and said that she wants to go to school, but her father told her to bring a husband so that he will marry her off. I said, no. Do you really want to go to school? She said, yes. We summoned the father. And I am telling you, by the time we gave him the advantages of educating that girl, it's better than her getting married in the early age. Today, the girl, the father has paid, she has finished College of Education, Gindry, and she's a teacher. So we need to work together. The parents should come to us, we the traditional rulers, we work together. In our council too, especially in our chiefdom, in the Fiam chiefdom, we have created the women wing. We have women when we sit so that they hear and handle the affairs of women in the council. So we make that provision because we are in the 21st century. You see, we are an enlightened community. So we should be moving to a well-learned society. We shouldn't be as a cave as we used to be.
All right. Still on the legal aspect now, you know, what measures are put in place to demand accountability from perpetrators of child and forced marriages?
The good thing about it is the Child Rights Act law has been domesticated in Plateau State. So with that, there are punishments for persons who either give underaged persons in marriage, who also marry underaged persons, or in any way assist for an early underaged marriage. The child rights law of Plateau State has categorically stated under section 23, the punishment is 5 years imprisonment for such offenses or such an offense, or a fine of 500,000 naira or both. And these things are being enforced currently. Measures are put in place by the judiciary, particularly in Plateau State, since the law has been domesticated, to see how these laws can be fully implemented. And I want to assure the society that we have moved from the era of being barbaric and also bringing cultures that are against their repugnant to natural justice, equity, and good conscience. Laws are being put in place, just like His Royal Highness has stated, to see how we can also move with the global community. So there's a need for us to rise up to the challenge and also to rise up to what we are supposed to do as parents, as also members of the society, because when it comes to the enforcement and implementation, it's not just the courts, but it starts even from the society. So everybody is involved in this process. Thank you very much.
All right. Now, these laws are very commendable and they are good. But at some point, do you think perhaps these offenders, perpetrators of this crime, should be added under pedophilia as well? Since it's children, they seem to be attracted to.
I would not categorically say they are pedophiles. Because pedophiles are persons who are of age that take advantage of children sexually. When it comes to the issue of marriage, I wouldn't say they are pedophiles, because some customs or cultures permit it, and then religion too permits it. So under the law, we don't see them, we don't categorize them as pedophiles. Why? Because they are not actually pedophiles. Because
they get married to them. That's the difference.
Yes, that's the difference. So we cannot categorically say they are pedophiles.
So how prevalent is this problem, the early forced marriages? Is it more prevalent in the city or in the villages?
Mostly in the villages. Because in the cities, people are becoming aware of their rights and also changes in the society. So you hardly find those situations, except in very rare situations in the city. But mostly is in the villages, and then customs and cultures or religions where certain things are permitted.
All right, let's take more phone calls. Let's get your comments and contributions. Hello and good morning. Hello, are you there?
I'm there, Machinga. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Welcome.
That's great, Comrade Bernard on the line from Bochi Road.
Let's talk, Comrade.
Thank you very much. First of all, let me say hi to His Royal Highness for making his time to come and dedicate us. And the barrister in the house. You see, there are things we need to overgrow by now in this country. It's unfortunate that I don't know whether we are the only country that don't have nationality or ethnicity or religiosity. But most of the things that happen here is based on our sentiment. Everything we see is on the prism of things that will suit our morality. Up to now, we are talking about those things that are repugnant to natural justice. Forcible marriage. Where is the law? But I don't know whether we see a provision for where that is criminalized in our constitution. Or we are on a banana republic. How can somebody, a child under age 20, I mean 13, 14, how do you enjoy it for God's sake? Do you remember God? And the law is there. There are pro bono lawyers, we have legal aid counsel, there are human rights, there are other organizations that can say, hey, come, this will do you wrong. But the hand of the law is very weak. Why? Because of big manism. Because of elite we have in this country. The hate hearing where justice is being carried upon somebody who is perpetrating that is unfortunate. We should do something about this. We don't need to. Well, how do other countries?
Thank you, Comrade Bernard. We appreciate your input. Good morning. 090-556 in four places, 99090-988-4888. You can also find us on facebook.com/JFMJaws. On Facebook, Sokies Tong is saying, everyone is at high risk of being violated, though the females are at a higher risk because of their gender. All religious leaders should do the needful by teaching their followers the importance of protecting the girl child and everyone around. Community leaders are saddled with the responsibility of directing the individual in the community to say something, not to hide any criminal in the community. Government should prosecute anyone found wanting of any of such crimes, no matter his or her stature in the community. If you see anything, say something. Don't hide a crime or criminalize it. It may happen to you. Peer education should be introduced in our curriculum of education, which will do a lot of good. NGOs should be founded to also help out in doing the above. And he's saying, I'm above all, I'm a proud peer educator for a better Plateau and Nigeria at large. Sokies Tong, thank you for writing. Haji Slim is saying, education of a girl child is good, but you see Africa and its problem and culture and religion. Religious leaders need to educate their followers. We have heard from the pastor, we need an imam too. That is true. Shamsuddin is saying, I'm not in support of early marriage, but the young girls of today are exposed to sex at early age. Instead of allowing young girls to have multiple sex partners because of the early experience, it's better to let them marry off to a guy that they love. Felkuka Jimin is saying, in my culture, Ngas, if you do such a thing, you'll be punished immediately by gods and you'll be seen as an outcast. People feel shameful for the fear to be seen as an outcast. Makes it difficult to witness such. Elkanah Moses is saying leaders can educate communities in which such act occurs so they can come to see individuals' choice, independent and free choice of partners as right. Elkanah Moses again is saying it's quite unfortunate for us men ratting on such women. Some women get married early because they are thinking about how, not sure what you're trying to express here, but thank you, Elkanah. I got the first comment you wrote. Okay, what do you say to those who say, you know, you marry them off instead of allowing them to be promiscuous, it's better to marry them off?
Based on the law, it's very clear. The Constitution has provided it because that is the law of the land. That is what is governing every individual in the land. And if the Constitution has made it clear that the age of consent is 18 years, I don't think we should go outside that. In what, whether it be it a religion or whatever belief, the good thing about it is that it is enlightenment is coming in, just like His Royal Highness has stated. most of the rural areas are getting to know and aware of, to get aware of some of these situations. They are beginning to understand that if a child is not fully prepared for marriage, that child is not supposed to be forced into marriage. And they are getting to know also that because of money or because of hardship, you should not endanger the life of your child. Because when you put it on the, when you look at when your child gets married at an early stage and then subsequently what he stands to gain in life when he doesn't marry early, the advantages of marrying when you want to get married, marrying the person of your choice, far outweighs when you try to marry a child because you feel a child is getting promiscuous and then at a particular age is better for the child to get married. I don't see it's so barbaric and out of place for a person to reason that way. It's shameful. So please, let's rise up to our responsibility as a society. Let's learn to accept some truths about and realities about life. Because for the girl child, if she's well trained, in fact, she's going to educate a society. So I think the best thing needs to be done. Thank you.
All right. His Royal Highness Charles Mato Dakat. Now, what advice do you have for other leaders in respect of women in the traditional council and other traditional leaders like yourself?
For traditional rulers, we should collaborate with government. If possible, let government have a kind of trust fund to give scholarship to the girl child, because if they are in school, the chances of getting them married early will not be there. And some of them, because of poverty, the children cannot school. So let's have a trust fund. Let's talk to the government. Let government provide scholarship to the girl child, just as the politicians, the women politicians, are being given some advantages, affirmative action, and so on. In addition, we'll continue to speak to the women group in the council, and we'll speak to other traditional rulers who don't have women in their council to introduce the women aspect in the traditional council, so that when we are sitting, there should be a voice for the women. For the women.
Well done to you, His Royal Highness Charles Mato Dakat. Now, they say to educate girls is to reduce poverty. Kofi Annan, the 7th Secretary General of the United Nations, and also Malala Yousafzai, the female education activist, said we cannot all succeed when half of us are held back. And we call upon our sisters around the world to be brave, to embrace the strength within themselves and realize their full potential. And that is the activist, education activist and founder of Malala Fund. All right, so let's get your last words on this issue and then we wrap it up. Starting with you, Royal Highness Charles Mato Dakat.
Well, we thank God for NGOs like the United Nations, the USAID, RAPA, and other NGOs that are doing great in information dissemination about this early child marriages, and we pray that they should continue to do much more. In addition, I also wish that we should preach more of morality, good morals. Parents should have good morals, and then fear of God, because if we train the girl child, we train a nation. So the education of the girl child is very, very important. That if we refuse to train them, then there will be a vicious cycle of poverty that they will pass on to their children and their great children yet to be unborn.
All right. Your last words, Barrister Tapman Evelyn Gotep of Ministry of Justice.
Okay. I think at this point I need to correct that. Yes, I'm not from the Ministry of Justice. I'm with the Plateau State Judiciary.
Okay.
Yes.
That was what was sent to me.
So that was an error, but I knew. But at this point, I would want to encourage. I want to encourage RAPA and other organizations who have been standing for holding forth to make sure that the girl child in the society takes her proper place. And we hope that as information is being disseminated, we hope that the society will embrace it. We shouldn't see it as something that is strange, but rather something that will help us to move forward. Thank you very much.
All right. This is what we have for you in the offing this Thursday and also the last day for the program, Let's Talk. Now, this was brought to you by Women Rights and Advancement and Protection Alternative RAPA and also supported by the Ford Foundation. Thank you so much, Your Royal Highness Charles Mato Dakat, for being here on the program, Let's Talk, this morning. And also Barrister Tapman Evelyn Gotep, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. And News Top of the Hour comes up next. After that, the Midday Show with Ogidigbo.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.